know, Lord, that your laws are righteousness, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight.
Today I'd like to talk to you about the mercy of God, the mercy of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy in our lives. Lord, the mercy that we receive because of you and nothing else. Guide and direct us now, Lord, we pray in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading out of the New English Standard Version, so it's a little different than what we have in the text in the book. But verse 77, well, let me read the whole thing again. For I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. In your faithfulness you have afflicted me. Your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. And verse 77, which is the main text of today's message. Let your mercy come to me that I may live. Let your mercy come to me. Psalm 119, by the way, for those of you who have a Bible that may be marked in sections, you'll see each section is marked with a different word. And you have no idea what it is. It's the letters of the alphabet, of the Hebrew alphabet. This psalm is an acrostic poem of 22 stanzas following the letters of the Hebrew alphabet within a stanza, each beginning with that letter. So if you're wondering what that is, that isn't, I'm not sure what I want to say anything. Okay, we'll let that go. First of all, what is the mercy of God? Give me some idea. I'd come down there, but I'll leave that to Aaron. What is the mercy of God? Say it out. Go on. Okay, not getting what you deserve. Pardon me?
Forgiveness.
Okay, forgiveness. Remember, I'm deaf. Anything else?
Compassion.
Understanding, okay. Yes, sir. Courage, okay. And in an indirect way, that's got more in it than you'll ever know. Anything else? Okay, good. Those are good. I have several that I've listed, and I want you just to take a hold of them. Divine compassion, divine forbearance, forgiveness, penalty delayer. That was one of the interesting ones. And the one that probably you'll know the most of is God's grace. This, again, is another acrostic. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace. Webster defines mercy as a blessing that is an act of divine favor or compassion. We say God's unmerited favor. It's God's unmerited favor. So as we look at the word mercy, we know that it's something that we do not deserve. Now, I want to give you a couple ideas of what mercy is, first of all. Okay? Psalm, and by the way, if you know my preaching, you're going to spend some time turning your pages. Psalm 103, excuse me, verse 17. If you would, please, those of you that have paper Bibles and don't draw your computer. Psalm 103, verse 17. The Word of God says, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. First of all, God's mercy is eternal. God's mercy is eternal. It is the basis for his children's security. the mercy, the mercy of God is such that we don't have to worry about it. And one thing is true about our God. He is bound by his character. Okay? He is bound by his character. He can't say, well, you know, today I wanted to change my mind. I felt a little different about the program. I think we're going to try this. No. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it is the basis of our children's security. It's unbreakable, and it's a lifetime guarantee. Don't know if they still do this or not, and I know the company's kind of defunct a little bit. Sears. If you have any Sears tools, I've got a toolbox that's 48 years old of Sears tools. And there's one tool in there, and I've heard some horror stories. They say that it's a 100% guarantee. Take the tools back. I don't know if they still do that or not. I have a socket wrench that doubles as a hammer. If I'm in a bind, I'll take out that socket wrench, and I'm not going to get up and go for that dumb hammer. I'll take the socket wrench, and whatever I'm doing, and it needs a little bit of adjustment or a little bit of help, I'll take that socket wrench and beat it. You know, 48 years, it's doing just fine. I kind of waited for the day that it'd come apart so I can get a new one, but I don't think that would be covered under, at least in the purest of the sense, of a lifetime guarantee. But our God is eternal in his security for his children. Psalm 108, verse 4. Psalm 108, verse 4. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Secondly, God's mercy is boundless. It's boundless. Without end. It's immeasurable. When I was putting this together and thinking about it, right at that second came, I don't know why, but if you've ever had the opportunity of trying to blow out trick candles on a birthday cake, okay, anybody can relate to that or not? I've seen that done. That's a stinking thing to do to someone. Especially if they have enough problem breathing, let alone you're trying to kill them. So you blow them out, and somehow they magically poof, come back on again. And people then look up and say, ah, you did that, huh? And they blow them out again. And so after about the second or third time of blowing them out and they're not going out, people will then put them out with wet fingers. And I thought that's kind of crazy too. But it's boundless. It's without end. It's immeasurable. The word used is used in the Old Testament 250 times. It's the Hebrew word Hesed, H-I-S-E-D, Hesed. And it means or connotes the fact that God's faithfulness and his faithful love for his unfaithful people. God's faithful love for his unfaithful people. I imagine each one of you could raise your hand right now and say that you've been unfaithful to God for one reason or another. You know, and God doesn't change. He still loves you in spite of what we do or in spite of what we don't do. So his mercy is boundless. And then third, Joel chapter 2. Those of you that are turning, it's look past Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then, Daniel, Hosea, and then to Joel. It's one of those books that are a little bit interesting to find. Joel chapter 2 and verse 13. And I thought this was an interesting verse, the way the author of this book writes this. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast days. Now think about it. God doesn't have a bad day. I imagine if I asked each one of you if you've had a bad day in the recent week or in the recent this morning, something's come up or something's happened. We have bad days, but God doesn't have a bad day. He gives us reason to serve and to live and to go on. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy is the fifth book, part of the Pentateuch, chapter 33, verse 27. The Word of God says, "The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you." Now think about that. Just look at that picture of how God is your eternal dwelling place. You don't ever have to worry about it. And his arms are underneath you, protecting you on a regular basis. And you say, well, hey, you know, I've gone through this. God still is protecting you. Except for the grace and the mercy of God, we wouldn't be anything. So he gives us a reason to go on and to pursue. Another thing I thought about was Paul in the New Testament in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. It says in the Word of God, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Paul even says it in Scripture, not worried about things behind. Some of you that do some farm work, and if you ride a tractor, I've been told, at least I haven't gotten on a tractor, nobody trusts me to get on a tractor, but I've been told that a farmer, when he's plowing a field, where is he looking? Straight ahead, straight ahead. Next time you go to plow a field, don't look ahead. Look to the side, look to the back, and then when you get to that end of that row, understand you're going to have to go back because that row is probably going to be all over the place. Farmers will find a fixed point out at the end of the field, and they'll keep their eyes on it. So that helps them to look forward and not to look behind. So God's mercy is encouraging. It gives us a reason to serve, to live, and to go on. Even though you're having that day that just isn't what you'd like it to be, God is still there, and he still loves you, and he's still giving you his mercy. Now, God's mercy is Micah chapter 7. Here's another good one to find. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Get practice going through your Old Testament. Now, if I can just find it, we'll be all right. There it is. Micah. Yeah, there we go. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Micah 7 and verse 18. The Word of God says, "Who is like you, O God, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because his delight is in steadfast love." Now remember, I just said to you a few minutes ago that God can't do things because of his very nature and character. This is another one of the things. He can't and won't remember your sins. When you confess your sins, God has amnesia. He says, "What sins?" And he says, "Let's go on. Let's be what we need to be." Another verse is John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And you've heard me say this before. All means all. And that's all that all means is all. All unrighteousness. Because of his love, he shows mercy. Because of his love, he shows mercy to us. God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. We are not sinless, though some of you may feel that way. We're not sinless. We just sin less. Okay, we're not sinless, but we just sin less. And that's because of the love and mercy of a Heavenly Father. So please remember that. And then Titus chapter 3, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us. You imagine what heaven would be like if we were all up there saying, I got here because... No, it's a place you wouldn't want to be. So he saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy and the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. King James says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. God's mercy makes salvation possible. God's mercy makes salvation possible. There is a simple formula. If you have the opportunity to talk to someone about Christ, a simple formula you can share with them if you're on that level of familiarity. It's called the ABCs of God. The ABCs of God. A, accept the finished work of Christ. Accept what he did upon the cross of Calvary as fulfillment and payment for your sins. B, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. It says in Romans, if you believe on Jesus, you will be saved. And then C, confess your sins and receive Jesus' forgiveness. Accept the finished work of Christ. B, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. And C, confess your sins and receive Jesus' forgiveness. God's mercy is free to each of us. God's mercy, first of all, is eternal. It's boundless. It's encouraging. It's forgiving. And it makes salvation possible. God's mercy is forever and for all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to get into your word and to look at it. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who does not know the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, glad to talk with them. And I know even Dan would love that opportunity. Don't leave today not knowing for sure that you have Jesus as your Savior. It is so important in your life. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for your mercy and grace in our lives. Bless now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.